We've been following through with a few key words. The theme, if you hadn't picked up, it hasn't always been easy to pick up, has been enlightenment, and we've looked at hope and joy and peace. And today, as Pat has read to us, we're looking at love. So I think as you came in, you would have received one of these little outlines. I'm never sure what people do with those, whether you actually take them home and think about it or whatever. Love's expressions in our behaviour, in our attitudes, in our self-giving. How do we express the love of God? Well, God's love was shown to us, and the whole of the Bible reflects his love. But for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, friends, during the week I sat with Bernice before she died and said the Lord's Prayer, and she joined in little bits and pieces. And then I read the 23rd Psalm, and again she joined in bits and pieces. And then I said, Bernice, you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Aren't they powerful words? When we think about Christmas, I can't separate Christmas and Easter. But here I'm reading from the Word of God saying to this dying lady, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever's a long time. And just living with God for that time. But friends, I have to think, am I making this up? I mean, is this really God, as Ian has said, is it really God who has come to us and by his Spirit dwells in us and by his Spirit has inspired the Word, and that Word says, forever and ever, you who believe in Jesus will dwell with him forever. Isn't that just wonderful to grasp? This is God's love shown to us. Colin Rolfe hasn't made this up. This is the word of the living God. God is love. So he cannot do anything unloving. He is always positive. And the other thing that is really very important is that God is always active, not passive. So even when we think God has not answered our prayers because he hasn't heard, he has. And on those prayers, he's acting. How incredible is our God. So friends, let us never doubt God. I've told you before that I was having some treatment on my neck once, and the osteopath who was doing it, just a young guy, said, Colin, do you ever doubt God? And I said, no, I don't doubt God ever. But he doesn't do things the way I want him to. It doesn't work out like that. But friends, do we ever doubt the love of God? How wonderful is his love. So if Christmas is important, let us reaffirm the love of God. What is our response to this? What is our response? Well, depending on your translation, but in Revelation, we have this written to the Ephesian church. You have correct doctrine. You're committed to doing my work. You are grounded in the word and you're not going to be fooled by the false. You have retained all the ordinances. You do commendable charitable deeds. but you have lost your first love. Now, when we heard those words from Pat, and we'll look at that in a second, no matter what we've done, no matter how charismatically expressive we might be with tongues or prophecy, if we do not have love, we're gone. A lot of people think that the book of Revelation is all about prophecy, you know, headed monsters and dreadful women and all of this sort of stuff. Hang on a minute. The book of Revelation is about the church today. It is about the seven churches of Revelation, and to each one of those churches, God speaks. And he points out their weakness or their fault or their imperfection and where they haven't shaped up. And to Ephesus, he says, you have lost your first love. You don't love me like you once did. Would it be significant for us, me included, to think about where is the love of God today? Those of you who are old enough to remember the old Blue Chorus book, there was a song in that, "Rekindle your first love in my heart. I never meant to depart." And that's so true, is it not? But this is the accusation that Jesus makes to the church. If you want to know what he thinks about the church, just read those seven churches and you'll find that he puts his finger on different things. But the church in Ephesus is accused of doing wonderful things. Now, friends, would it be possible that we at Lighthouse, with our programs and all, are doing great things? And I think we are. And this is not an accusation. It's just, this is what God's word says. He says it to me. He says it to the church. So would it be possible that we all need to just take a look at ourselves and say, this is Christmas and God is saying, where is your love? Is your love enough for me? This little green box says, Jesus is the gift. Is that enough for each of us for Christmas? Or do we need something a bit more sparkly? Listening this morning on the radio, a guy rang up and he said that he had said to two of his children, one was five and the other one I think was a bit older, he said to them, we have so much in Australia. We have so much in Australia and you children are going to get presents. What would you think if one year, instead of us getting presents, we gave presents to some children who had less? And he said, one of the children said, that's fine, Dad, let's do that. And the other kid ran off to the bedroom crying. So didn't want to miss out on getting the presents. But this is the question, is it? Is Jesus enough for us? And is our love for him as strong as it once was? Now, we don't want to go back to simplistic love. Like we can sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. That is fundamental. And we need to stick with that. But we need to be careful, friends, that we don't keep going back. We've all been on the track, many of us here, for over 30 years. Our love for God should have grown deeper, 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 deeper. Not just shallow and flimsy. It shouldn't be just wanting simple presents. There should be a depth in our love for God that is deep and growing. We should have that. Our friend Broden sent me an email this week. He's not such a good communicator. He takes a while to respond to things, but he sent me an email this week, which was lovely to hear, and to hear all of his, what he's doing and how excited he continues to be about God. He did tell me when he was home last time that, of course, when he was over in Canada before, he was very much living a fairly loose life. So I said to him, how did you go when you went back and you were, converted, you were now a Christian? What did your mates think? So he thought about what he was going to do, and when he went back, whenever anyone took him out for a meal or he took them out for a meal, he said, oh, before we eat, I'm going to say grace. So he said that straight away opened up a conversation. How clever is that? But he sent me an email, and on the bottom of the email, he said, where are you currently at your work with Christ, at your walk with Christ? He's asking me. Oh, here is a guy who, what, 3 or 4 years ago knew nothing of Jesus. Colin, where are you currently at your walk with Christ? Now, I had to sit and think and think, well, it's interesting. Have I lost a first love? Am I still as passionate? Is it different? As someone has said that when you first become a Christian, you want to tell everyone, or you're perhaps inappropriate sometimes. But I'm still thinking, what feeds me, what nurtures me in that? And I say, friends, Broden would say to us all, where are we? And of course, when he bounces back in one day, we know not when, he'll bounce in and who knows what he'll say. But yeah, friends, we need to pray particularly for young people, particularly for young adults, for a love for Jesus, and also for pastors, that we keep a love for God. So have we lost our first love? Well, that's the challenge that comes to all of us. Because if we've lost our first love, no matter what else we do, it doesn't really count if we take the word of God seriously from what Pat read. God's love is shown in our attitudes. Now, I don't intend to go through all of these because you've heard many sermons on all of these aspects of God's love from 1 Corinthians. These people were good talkers. They were good debaters. They loved the spectacular. There was nothing like a good show in Corinth. But spiritually they were immature. And Paul said, you are still babies wanting milk and you should be eating steak. So, Corinthians says, these things move and fade. Tongues, prophecy, faith, martyrdom, all have their place, but they pass by. Friends, what does love do? It gives up its rights for the benefit of others and for the desire of God's glory. It's a big challenge, isn't it, to us? What does love do? Well, it gives up its rights. I have a right to this? No. My rights I've given to Jesus. My rights I've given to glorify God. Yes. The world might say, oh, you've got rights, me too, all the rest of that. But no, they are given up for the sake of God. Now, just very quickly, patience and long-suffering reacts in goodness towards maltreatment. Some of you will perhaps step into situations this Christmas where you have been badly treated by members of the family. How are you going to react? It is not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. Churches are places where people like their own way. People often want their own way. People hold grudges. Grudges just eat into us and are not helpful. It does not rejoice in wrong. It does not point the finger and say, I told you, you shouldn't have married that bloke. We don't do that. It doesn't rejoice in evil, but it rejoices in good. And then it bears all things. How amazing is that? It shuts its ears to gossip, but opens its eyes to possibility. How lovely is that? Believes all things, ultimate confidence in the triumph of God. It hopes all things. Failure is not final. How wonderful, how wonderful. Because many of you here know failure, no hope. How gorgeous is that? And it endures all things. Love never ends. It is eternal and perfect. Yep. Love is. And these are our attitudes. This is attitude. This is how I think. And then it shows in my behaviour. So if this is how I think, then this is how I behave. If it's all given over to God, wonderful. I've got there just on one little power thing. Love is the power of this world, which already is the power of the world to come. Love is the power of heaven, and it should be the power of earth. How wonderful. We look around the world and we say, is there a country without a war? Is there a country without a fight? Well, Australia at the moment. But is there a place where there isn't starvation? I just can't believe those bombed buildings in some parts of the world. Just incredible. Going home and here's a pile of bricks. That's home. How incredible. So friends, love is the power of this world. But I know that some of you and some of the Bright and Light ladies have shared with me, Christmas is going to be a bit iffy. Well, don't make it iffy. Make it a delight. Go with a positive attitude expressing the love of God. For love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrong. These are all negatives and destructive. All negatives and destructive. They all seek self, my way. I'm irritated. I've been hurt. You're a Christian, friends. We're Christians. We have a different attitude to things, a different approach. We forgive people. We need to be careful. So we have God's love shown to us. We have a response. Our attitudes are different. And then the last bit is that God's love is understood by other people by my behaviour. By this men will know. On Tuesday I went into the post office, and we know the people in the post office. And as I walked in, the lady who works in the post office was talking to the boss. There was no one else in the post office. And she said to him, well, next time she comes in, I will deal with her. And I said, oh, a bit of trouble? She said, there's a lady who comes in frequently. She always wants me to weigh the thing again. Are you sure that's the right weight? Are you sure that's the right price? Oh, she said she just undermines everything. I said, oh, right. And then she leaned over to me and she said, and she says she is a Christian. Oh, righto. She is a Christian. I have to say, walking home, I thought, how do they know she's a Christian? Has she given them a tract? Yes, maybe. Maybe she's told them that she goes to church. Or maybe she's shared with them. Here are the four spiritual laws. Here you can get to heaven, not go to hell. All of that is negated by that woman's behaviour. They didn't laugh about her. They were cross, really. Friends, other people know our love for God by our behaviour. And that comes back to our attitude, back to our response to God, and our understanding of his love for us. So, this Christmas, let's grasp again the love God has for us. Let's reaffirm that he is the first love in our life. Let's think through our attitudes, and then let's allow those attitudes to determine our behaviour so that other people will see Jesus in us. Because isn't that what we want? Other people to see Jesus and respond to him. Not respond to us, but respond to him. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are so conscious at Christmas that you sent your Son, incredible cost, amazing gift, and yet we are aware that sometimes our behaviour is so weak, it is so insignificant compared to your significant gift. So, Father, we pray today that you would reaffirm in us a love for you, that you would allow us to stand again on your promises, and that we would be people who, by our attitudes and our behaviour, reflect the God in whom we believe, a God of forgiveness, a God of hope, a God of enjoyment and delight, a God who understands, a God who cares. Father, if we need changing, turn us upside down and round about in order that we might be like Jesus. For we pray in his name. Amen.